Did you know that there are two Deborahs in the Bible? Many of us know about Deborah the prophet and judge, but there's actually a Deborah that's mentioned way before her, and she actually has a pretty important role. We're going to learn all about her today. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl. Today we're continuing our Women of the Old Testament series. And as I mentioned at the top of today's show, we're actually learning about a woman named Deborah. Now, many of us know about Deborah, who is taught in Judges, and she is a judge and a prophetess, but this is a Deborah that's actually mentioned in the book of Genesis. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read Genesis chapter 35. Verses 1 through 14. It says, "Then God said to Jacob, 'Go up to Bethel and settle there, and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau.' So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, 'Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourself and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in my day of distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone.' So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods that they had, the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak of Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell on the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak outside of Bethel, so it was named Allen Bacuth. After Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, 'Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel.' So he named him Israel. And God said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you.' Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God talked with him Bethel." So I will be completely honest. I have read this passage of scripture, Genesis 35, many times. I have taught Genesis 35 many times, but never have I paused to think about that sentence right there in the middle, verse 8, where it says, "Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak outside Bethel." So it was named Allen Bacuth. I've never stopped to think about that, quite honestly, let alone study it. But it's very interesting because this is not the first time that Deborah is mentioned. Back in Genesis 24, starting at verse 57, I'm going to read. It says, "Then they said, 'Let's call the young woman and ask her about it.' So they called Rebekah and asked her, 'Will you go with this man?' 'I will go,' she said." Now, just real quick, remember, this is when they are asking Rebekah if she wants to go and be married. Verse 59. "So they sent their sister Rebekah on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, 'Our sister made you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the cities of their enemies.' Then Rebekah and her attendants got ready and mounted the camels and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebekah and left." So it's interesting because Deborah is that servant that was with Rebekah and stayed with Rebekah. There are only a few times in scripture where children were said to have nurses, meaning they were nursed by somebody other than their mother. Culturally, that was not very common, and we don't read about it a lot. But Rebekah appears to have been one that was nursed by somebody other than her mother. So what that tells us culturally is that there was a reason for that. Rebekah's mother either did not want to nurse her or was unable to for some reason, and she hired a nurse to do it. Regardless, the custom was, at least in Laban and Bethuel's house, was that when a daughter was given in marriage, she was also given a personal attendant or a maid or a servant, because we learn about that happening, and we're going to study these women, Leah in Genesis 29 and Rachel in Genesis 29. It happened for them as well. So this was at least a family custom, if not a general custom of the time. So since Deborah had been the one to nurse and then probably care for Rebecca all of her life, it made sense that she was the logical choice to be Rebecca's attendant. And so she was given and went along with Rebecca back to live with Isaac. But fast forward to what we're learning about when Deborah died. Think about this. This had to have happened about 120 years later. Jacob was 98 years old, and Rebecca was at least 23 years older than him. That was his mom. And the nurse would have been obviously older than Rebecca. So just given the time frame, regardless of the actual age, she would have been a very old woman. What was she even doing out on the road with Jacob's family? Well, let's read verse 8 again. It says, "Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak outside of Bethel. So it was named Allon Bacuth." Okay, so this is what we know. While there's only just a handful of verses about Deborah, there's some things culturally that we can recognize about her story. That name, Allon Bacuth, and please forgive me, I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but that translates to the oak of weeping. It's interesting because there's this spotlight that's placed on her funeral, essentially, at the end of her life. And it's safe to say that if this is named a tree of weeping, it's called the oak of weeping now, it's safe to say that she was loved. She wasn't just loved by Rebecca, but she was loved by Jacob. She was loved by this family that she spent nearly all of her life taking care of. It's also interesting because some scholars would say that that word nurse translates to pedagogue, which is a teacher. And so that lends itself to this understanding that she could have also have been Rebecca's teacher. And it's probably likely that she served in a variety of capacities. She may have started off as a nurse, but then she was an attendant. She probably was a teacher of some sorts. But when Rebecca was a young girl living in this society where she had a deceitful father and brother, she at some point probably felt some sort of rejection for her mother, because we don't know exactly the reasons why her mother didn't nurse her, but there was something there. Deborah was her support system. It was Deborah that helped her stand strong and pious in the face of a culture that was opposite of that.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
So when we think about Deborah and Jacob's relationship, it's probably a grandmother type role for him. And she probably served his children. She might have even educated his children or nursed his children or cared for his children. Either way, what we know is that tears were flowing when this woman passed. And we know that tears usually were reserved for family. She had this small, small role in the Bible, but her life had a big impact. Deborah's life had a big impact on that family. And so the significance of Deborah is interesting because there's this description of her funeral. There are thousands of people mentioned in the Old Testament, but there are very few funerals recorded. There's actually only four funerals where we're told that people wept, and that is the funeral of Sarah, Moses, Aaron, and Deborah. In fact, we don't even learn about Rebecca's death. It does not specifically talk about Rebecca's death, but it does talk about Deborah's death. And so we can recognize that this act of service that Deborah had to Rebecca and to her family was an act of love. It's likely that Deborah had only ever been with Rebecca and to Rebecca's house and going to Isaac's house. She probably never left town before that. And so there's this understanding that she also, just like Rebecca, moved in faith and was obedient to go to Isaac. Deborah did too. She could have refused. There would have been consequences for that, but she could have refused. But she showed courage and faith in God by leaving her homeland and going with Rebecca. She was loyal to Rebecca and she served her faithfully. Up until the day that she died, she served her family. That means she helped raise the twins. Can you think about the chaos of raising twins in that day and age and time frame? And these two twins were polar opposites of each other. And yet we can see that Deborah was part of that family. She was part of raising those boys. And we're told of her death, even though we don't know anything else about her. That's significant because we don't always learn about people until death. In fact, that's kind of a cultural thing for them too. We wouldn't necessarily know about a lot of these different biblical heroes until they were written about after their death. And so there are a lot of times in our own lives that we do that too. We remember people more in death than we did in their life. And we will go and say nice things about them at their funeral, and we talk about their impact in our lives, but they're not even there to hear it. I think we do that too. It's kind of significant, and it's part of the human experience. It's human nature. And I do think it's significant that she was buried under an oak tree, because in that culture, that's consistent with how the ancient Jews would have buried a great person while on a journey. They would have buried them underneath an oak tree. That was intentional. There was other kinds of trees, but that was intentional. And so this funeral of Deborah tells us a lot about Deborah, but it also tells us about Jacob. He had a relationship with her. She was somebody that had been good to him long after the time in her life where she professionally was working for the family. It's almost like at this point in her life, she's being honored and remembered as this grandmother kind of figure. And I think that's so beautiful. And then, of course, when we read about things like this in the Torah acknowledges remembering through action. And so the action here is that Jacob not only buries her, but then changes the name of this location to reflect his feelings for her. And I think about that in terms of the times in our lives where we feel like we're doing something that's trivial and it's going unnoticed. I want you to recognize that even in those moments, God recognizes that. And the impact that you're making, it might not even be recognized until after you're dead. And that's okay because God sees those things. And the family members and the people that have been around us, they recognize it and they recognize that impact. And then also, I have to think about the people in my own life. Maybe you're thinking about that too. The people in my own life that have made an impact on me. I think fondly back to an older woman who was a babysitter of mine and the impact she made on my life. Maybe you had somebody like that, or a teacher, or an older friend, or a neighbor, or somebody that was present in your life that you may not have realized it at the time, but later on in life, you recognize the value and the impact that they made by serving you. I would encourage you to reach out to them. If they have not already passed on, reach out to them and share with them the impact that they made in your life, because that can be such a blessing. It can honor them, and it helps us recognize that even though in the mundane day-to-day service portion, we might not feel recognized right in that moment, but down the road, somebody's going to feel the impact of that service, especially if we're doing it in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the story of Deborah. And even though we only get a few verses of her from scripture, we recognize the impact that she made in the life of Jacob and Rebecca and Jacob's family. Lord God, we see this evidence of her faithfully serving in a way that probably often felt unseen or trivial or unnoticed. God, help my friend today that might be feeling that to know that you notice, that you see, that none of those things go unnoticed, and that you can use those things to make an impact far beyond what we can even imagine. And Lord, I pray for even right now, the person that we might be thinking of that made an impact in our own lives. God, we pray for that person. We thank you for them, the way that you use them in our lives. Lord, put it on our heart for a way that we can bless them, that we can honor them. Maybe it's a phone call or an email or a text message, but Lord, help us to reach out and just express our gratitude for that person before it's too late. God, I thank you for the lessons that we can glean from Deborah, the maidservant of Rebecca. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.